जप आदि सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक उसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम करता पुरख निरभउ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभम गुरप्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम करता पुरख निर्भउ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभम गुरप्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम करता पुरख निर्भउ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभम गुरप्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम करता पुरख निरभउ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभम गुरप्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु
वाणी गुरु गुरु है वाणी विच वाणी अमृत सारे गुरबाणी कहे सेवक जन माने पर तख गुरु निसतारे अमृत वाणी हर हर तेरी सुन सुन होवे परम गत मेरी शीतल होए सतगुर का दर्शन पाए जियो फिरत फिरत प्रभाया करिया तो सरनाए नानक की प्रभ बेनती अपनी भक्ति दाए प्रभ बेनती अपनी भक्ति दाए
एक ओंकार सत नाम करता पुरख निरभउ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभम गुर प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच वाहे गुरु जी का खालसा वाहे गुरु जी की फतेह।
We're all blessed to be in the presence of Sahib Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, for which we should all be very, very grateful. If we should find our house if we should find ourselves in the house of a worldly king, we would know that we are there because we've been invited. We're currently in the house of the king of all of the kings, Sahib Guru Gobind Singh Maharaj. And so know it to be true in each and every one of your hearts that you are here because you have been invited. If there is any doubt in your hearts, we can turn to Guru Sahib, who puts it beyond any doubt when they say, Aape Sangata Sat Bahale, Aape Vida Karave. Guru Sahib speaks to us from their heart, saying, Hey my children, Aape Sangat, that they are the ones that have invited you here today. And even that very place where you find yourself sitting on this white chadar in the Guru's Hazuri, even that very place, Guru Sahib says, Aape Sangat, Aape Sangat Sat Bahale, that that very place has been reserved for you since time immemorial. There's a Punjabi concept called Vida, which is the idea that when you leave someone's house, that they will never leave you, they will never let you leave empty-handed. Maybe many of you have experienced this when you've gone to your nanny's house, your bibi's house, and you're at the door, you're about to leave, and they're like, wait, as they disappear into the kitchen, clamoring around, they might come back with like a Kit Kat or a £1 coin. They're like, you can't leave the house empty-handed. Guru Sahib says, Aape Vida Karave, meaning, that who knows, that concept of Vida applies here too, but who knows what it is that you'll be leaving with today when you leave the Guru's Darbar. For know it truly in your hearts that nobody ever leaves Guru Sahib Darbar empty-handed, whether it be blessings, whether it's Bishlakaram that have been wiped away. And we've been blessed with this opportunity to go together in Sangat group through the most blessed, the most pavitra Bani, which is Sri Japji Sahib Darbar. And many of us may have been told from a young age, Japji Sahib Darbar to Sri Pariyakaro, read Japji Sahib Darbar, listen to Japji Sahib Darbar. But perhaps for many of us it has just been that, it has been an instruction, do this. But we were never perhaps told the why. Why should we read Japji Sahib Darbar? What is the purpose behind reading this Pavitra Bani? What will I get from it? Perhaps even simpler still, what is Japji Sahib Darbar? So what we're going to do with the blessings of Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj is we're going to try and unpack Sri Japji Sahib Darbar to give us a deeper understanding that we can connect with it, have a deeper understanding of what the Bani is, where it's come from, why it has been delivered to us, and perhaps most functionally, what purpose we can use it for in our day-to-day lives and the difficulties that we might face day-to-day. So to understand Sri Japji Sahib Darbar, we have to understand the context of the time, the world that we live in, and the world that Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj became Bhargat in. And Bhai Gurdas Ji, who's a very respected and eminent Sikh historian, who was actually the Mama Guru Arjan Dev Ji, the fifth Guru of the Sikhs, they speak about the state of the world at the time just before Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj came. And they say, Suni Pukar Da Tar Pra, Guru Nanak Jag Mahi Pathaya, that the world was crying out in pain, that everybody was suffering because of the falsehood that had gripped the world. There was no truth, and in fact, the way that it is described so beautifully, so clearly, is it depicted by Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, when they describe that truth and righteousness had in fact grown wings, that truth and righteousness specifically, had sprouted wings and flown away, leaving this world without any dharma. Kalkati Rajay Kasai, that there was no truth left in this world, and that it was in this darkness that the world is crying out in pain, as described by Bhai Gurdas Ji, that hearing the cries and the pains of the world and the dharti, the earth which couldn't bear the weight of all of the darkness that was settling down upon it, that answering the cries of the world, God manifest in the form of Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj came to the earth to save the earth, to bring light into this darkness. You see, since perhaps we could speak, we've been taught, Tan Guru Nanak, say Guru Nanak, O young child. But to know what it means to say the word Guru is a blessing unto itself. The word Guru takes its root from two smaller words in Gurbani, Gu meaning darkness, and Ru means light. To call upon your Guru is to recognize that Guru Nanak is the one that's going to bring light into your life in a place from which otherwise only exists darkness. So Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj describes his world as being in a place of darkness, and everybody is suffering with falsehood. And this wonderful, beautiful light comes to the earth in the form of Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj, which is the form of God on this earth. And when this happens, the whole world, from the very youngest and tenderest of ages, falls in love with Guru Nanak. It is said, the way that is described in our history, that even from a young age, people would flock to come and see Guru Nanak, and that when all the other children would be playing in what we would describe as a playground or a field, they would perhaps look up and think, hey, where's Guru Nanak gone? And they would find Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj further afield, sitting beneath a tree, with his eyes half open, half closed, with a half smile upon his face, as he is communicating and experiencing the sweetness of the Divine. And everybody looks at Guru Nanak Dev Ji with love and affection, except but a few. At that time there were these people that were called the Siddhas. The Siddhas were like yogis, they were like ascetics. If any of you were born in the 80s, you may recognize the name Dalsim from Street Fighter. And through their own sort of penance, they jumped up, if you like, they'd obtained what we call Riddhya Siddhya powers that allowed them to do things that normal human beings would look upon as fascination. We call these Riddhya Siddhya the 18 supernatural powers, and anybody can obtain these on that path of spirituality. Because of their spiritual prowess, their, if you like, sorcery, many people would flock to them and they would worship the Siddhas. And unfortunately, these Siddhas, these ascetics, these holy Hindus, they had fallen by the wayside, being caught up in the ego of being worshipped as perhaps greater men. And intent, upon building up their following, they would look upon Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj as a way to try and gain more following. They would see this young, beautiful child that through love and affection draws the love and affection of all others around him. And the Siddhas think, well, hang about, if we can convert Guru Nanak into our faith, if we can bring him into our dharam, that in this way he will bring so many more and we will become all the more famous. And so from a very young age, the Siddhas would go to see Guru Nanak with what I would call or refer to as like rhetorical questions. It's a question where it's not really being asked for the truth to be unfolded. It's being asked so that you can put forward your own communication, your own point of view, perhaps demonstrate your own art. And they would come to Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj with their understanding of the truth. And they would, if you like, step to Guru Nanak in contest. They would step to Guru Nanak and say, hey, this is what we can do. Revealing their understanding of spirituality through their spiritual prowess. They would demonstrate their ability to hold their breath for long periods of time, to live for hundreds of years, to float, to fly, to be able to turn stones into priceless gems and emeralds and diamonds and such like. But the funny thing, Sadhsangaji, is that every time they would step to Guru Nanak with their understanding of the truth, which we know was caught up in falsehood and ego, every time they would come to Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj with their understanding, Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj would deliver the highest truth. They would deliver the perfect truth. My brothers and sisters, I'm so very proud of this fact that every time Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj revealed this truth, they did it with such style and such finesse that they would do it in rhyme. They would do it so beautifully, delivering to us this blessed bani of a Gaurpur, which we say, Durki bani ai, din sagali jin madai, that the Gurbani has come directly from God, being delivered by Guru Nanak. Those teachings would be collected up, the Siddhas would walk away scratching their head, and they would come back another occasion and say, well, hang on, what about this? Let me show you what we can do here. And every time they would come to Guru Nanak, he would send them packing with the realization that what they were preaching was false. And they would come back and go forth and come back and go forth. And in this way, they would spend many, many years, decades in fact, conversing with Guru Nanak in the hope that one day that he would convert to their ways. You see, this was a play being played out, except the Siddhas did not know what was occurring before their very eyes. History was going to be in the making, and something very beautiful was going to transpire during the course of the complete journey of Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj. When Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj were in their elder years, having travelled the entire world, 28,000 kilometres having travelled on their udasis, educating the Sidhs and removing all of the falsehoods that had gripped the world, it was time for Bhai Lana, who was the Gurmukh that followed the teachings of Guru Nanak Dev Ji perfectly, to become the second Guru. He later became known as Sri Guru Angad Dev Ji Maharaj, the second Guru of the Sikhs. And around this time, in a place called Kartarpur, where Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji settled, there were some travelling sadhus, and they came to know of the teachings of Guru Nanak. And they come to Sri Guru Nanak, and they say to Bhai Lana, they say, tell us a little bit about this path that you're going to travel upon. They ask four questions to Bhai Lana, the first of which being, tell us about this path. And Bhai Lana says, this path that we follow, as laid down by Sri Guru Nanak, is the path of one God that unites all people. There were further questions, and the last of which was, what is your mala mantra? What is it, if you like, that you would repeat upon a mala? What is the teaching that you would meditate upon repeatedly every single day? Bhai Lana, ever the most beautiful and obedient and humble Gursikh, goes back to Sri Guru Nanak and asks this question to Sri Guru Nanak. Sri Guru Nanak sings what we now know as Sri Japji Sadapat. What was it that he was singing? He collected together the Bhatya, all of those different lessons when they were meeting the Sidhs during the course of their physical lifetime. They were brought together and they were given to Bhai Lana and said to Bhai Lana that you should rearrange these and arrange them in the correct order. And this is what's going to be known as the Mala Mantra. This is going to be the proclamation, the syllabus if you like, the all-encompassing teachings of the Sikh Dharma, which is going to be borne out onto this world. You see, Sri Japji Sadapat isn't just a poem or a prayer that Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji wrote one day and said, read this. No. It's actually a collection of different adventures, chronicles, episodes in the life of Sri Guru Nanak as they met different people across the world who were caught up in falsehood. You'll notice, perhaps, when you pick up a Gutka next time and you open the Gutka side, on the right hand side, as you go down past each verse, there's a number there corresponding to the different baldi. Baldi meaning the different verse, or from the different time when that part of the Shabad, when that part of Sri Japji Sahib was spoken or delivered forth into this world. My brothers and sisters, when I spoke a few moments ago about how we are so very lucky to be here, when we're here, we're going to try and unpack those very different episodes, such that when you open your Sri Japji Sahib Gutka, you're going to go on a journey, just like those Sidhs did every time they came to meet Guru Nanak. And the start of that journey is when Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is speaking with the creator and sustainer and destroyer of all things on this earth, Waheguru. When they enter that Vainadi, they enter the river for 3 days, and everybody thinks that Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj has died, has perished, has left this world. It is at that time that Sri Guru Nanak is in communion with Waheguru. And Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj talks about this time as how he's in communion with Waheguru. He describes himself as being an unemployed musician, like a ragi, if you like, with an instrument, but no place to go and play a set. And that once he is in communion with God, he is the most beautiful bani. That bani we now know is the first part of the Mool Mantra, which in turn forms the very first part of the Japji Sadha part. Hota Divekar Karelaya, says Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji about this time, that they were a dandi and that they don't have anything to play. And they're in communion with God. And it's at this time that the Mool Mantra is spoken for the first time. My brothers and sisters, what we're going to try and do is learn together and grow together such that with the knowledge that is imparted in Sri Japji Sadapat, we can obtain what's called Brahm Gyan. So different baniya have got different purposes that we recite for different reasons. So an obvious example is Sri Japji Sadapat is a prayer for protection that we can read whenever we need some protection. The purpose of Sri Japji Sadapat is to merge us with God. I'll repeat that the purpose of Sri Japji Sadapat is to help us to merge, to get to know, so that we can merge with that Creator, the one that whom we are all feeling so very separated from day to day. You haven't got to put your hands up, but I'm going to put my hand up. Put your hands up if sometimes you feel a little bit anxious during the day. You feel a bit nervous, you feel a bit sad, you feel a bit separated. You see, we often look at the reasons for why we're separated. We look into the world for these reasons. So for example, if you're upset because someone's upset you, you think that the purpose or the cause of your being upset is the person who has spoken these words. But through Brahmgyan, through knowledge of God, through seeing Japji Sadhapad, what we're going to try and hope to do is reach an avastha where we can recognize that this world is very, very illusory. And it will keep you caught up and keep your attention, just like a child could be having his attention snapped away by a phone. You put a phone in front of a child and you can keep the child's mind busy. In essence, we've all got a phone in front of our faces every single day. And that's this world. And it's catching it out with emotions and anxieties because we don't understand the true reason of why we are here. My brothers and sisters, it's been said by great Gatha Vajiks in the Sikh Panth that every question that you may possibly have can be answered from the Gyan that is contained in Siddhi Japji Sadhapad. In fact, we can go even a further step and say that the whole of the teachings of Siddhi Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, all of the teachings contained on those blessed limbs, those 1,430 limbs of Siddhi Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, are in fact an amplification, an explanation of the teachings of Siddhi Japji Sadhapad. To give you a few examples of just how mengi this bani is and how highly it is treasured by those gurmukhs that know the value of treasure itself, we're going to just go to a few examples in our history. So when Siddhi Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, the fifth guru of the Sikhs, who gave us the blessed bani of Siddhi Sukhmani Sadhapad, which you may all be very familiar with from when you have a program in your house and Guru Sahib comes and they recite bani for about an hour to give you Sukh Shanti. When Siddhi Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, that very blessed, most humble form of God on this earth, were being tortured. They were being tortured and being asked to change Gurbani to reflect upon Islam in a more favorable light. When they were having the skin torn from their body by hot iron pincers and burning hot white sand poured upon their flesh, when they were being made to sit on the dhati davi, the tawa, which would have cooked them from below as they're receiving the hot white sand from above, Siddhi Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj and those five blessed gurmukhs that were with Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, what were they known to be reciting out loud? What was upon their lips and upon every part of their body vibrating forth? It was the blessed Siddhi Japji Sadhapad of Siddhi Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj. Going forward still, when Bhai Mati Das Ji was accompanying Siddhi Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji Maharaj, the ninth guru of the Sikhs, as they travelled to Delhi, behind them are an anxious group of 5,000 Kashmiri Pandits that are being told that if you don't convert to Islam, we're going to take your heads. Those Kashmiri Pandits are in a complete state of anxiety, for all of their hopes, all of their desires to remain a free dharma, to live and to be able to practice their dharma, all of the hopes and the desires of their daughters, of their children, their nieces and nephews, their family members, their schools of thought, they're all resting in the laps of Siddhi Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji Maharaj, the ninth guru of the Sikhs, and those blessed gurmukhs that are with Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji, Pan Mati Das, Pan Sati Das, Pan Diyana Das. The Mughals take by Mati Das and they offer him all sorts of bribes, riches beyond this world compare. They offer him women, they offer him riches, they offer to make him a king of a small province, golden robes, and all such like treasures. Pan Mati Das says that this beautiful, sweet Sikhi of Guru Nanak is so sweet and to me, and nothing you can offer me will be so sweet. Mockingly, with so much strength and conviction, Bhai Mati Das Ji says, the only thing I haven't tasted yet is the saw that you have. Because a saw had been brought forth, an ari, which was being used to threaten Bhai Mati Das. The saw was placed on Bhai Mati Das's head as he was drawn to a throne. I want to not sure if my brother's going to, hopefully you can get a picture of Bhaimati Das here. The sword was placed on the head of Bhaimati Das, and the sword was so big and so heavy, and the edge was so sharp and serrated that it took two people to hold the frame, one in the front and one in the back. And they started to draw the sword backwards and forwards through the pavitra kesh, the holy hair of Bhaimati Das, until it went through the skin and started to crack through the scalp of Bhaimati Das. What was on Bhaimati Das's lips as the sword is ripping through his scalp and a fountain of blood is pouring down his face? What is it that's giving him the strength to endure such pain? What is it that gives him the courage to be able to stand up for the rights of these people, these bandits that are being threatened with extermination? It is the blessed Bani of Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj, Sri Japji Sahibabad. It is said that when the sword is 2 fingers deep, Gobi Santokh Singh Ji, a respected Sikh historian, speaks of the sword having reached 2 fingers deep in the head of Bhaimati Das. And he's smiling. He's got a deep smile on his face and he's reciting the pavitra bani of Sri Guru Nanak. And they say to him again, what do you choose? Do you choose Shahidi or will you accept Islam? Unbeknownst to the people that are carrying out this execution, there was no choice to be had, because he was what we call Tergar. Tergar meaning he was steadfast unto himself, because he was drawing from a power which is beyond this world. Recognize this to be true, my brothers and sisters. The Bani which we're going to hopefully go on a journey on together and experience and get to know better is not from this world. It is from a Garbhulok. The Bani itself is a Garbhulok. Listening to Sri Japji Sahibabad, Gobi Santokh Singh Ji says so beautifully that that Sikh who listens to Sri Japji Sahibabad, Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj speaks that that person has a place near him. Wow. Hearing that, I'm saying it and it makes me so very happy. Bhaimati Das is sawn in half. The Mughal Qazis are recording this in their parliamentarian books, and it is said that Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji, that Bhaimati Das Ji has reached the pankti Panch Parvan, Panch Pradhan, Panche Pave, Dargerman. At that point, the saw line has completely ripped through the physical body of Bhaimati Das, and the 2 physical parts of Bhaimati Das's body falls apart. But the Qazis are in complete shock and horror, because all they can hear is Panch Parvan, Panch Pradhan, Panche Pave, Dargerman, Panche Sohe, Dardarjan. Meaning, Panch Parvan, meaning that those 5 are honored in the court of the Lord. That Bhaimati Das Ji, who had the conviction and the strength, who drew the power from that Sri Japji Sahibabad, was never going to waver, was never going to fall. Bhaimati Das Ji stood for those people who were being tortured, and their dharam to this day survives. Even to this day, there is a pilgrimage that is taking place in the Hindu dharam, where Hindus who recognize the sacrifice of Bhaimati Das and the ninth Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji Maharaj, and they travel on a certain day to come and pay pilgrimage, to pay homage, to pay thanks, if you like, to say thanks for the sacrifice made by Bhaimati Das Ji and Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji Maharaj. It was that Sri Japji Sahibabad that was on their lips. There are so many examples of Shaheeds that have received the most physical pain that perhaps we couldn't endure, but it was no pain for the Shaheeds. And it's no coincidence that on every single one of those occasions, it is Sri Japji Sahibabad that they're choosing to be their last words. When Baba Fateh Singh Ji and Baba Jorawar Singh Ji were being bricked alive in a wall in Sirhind, Baba Fateh Singh Ji and Baba Jorawar Singh Ji being the youngest 2 sons of Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj, they were 7 and 9 years old respectively. It is said that as the wall is going up, Baba Fateh Singh Ji is being asked, will you accept Islam? Baba Jorawar Singh Ji is saying, will you accept Islam? And they're shouting Jigare. And in between the Jigare, all you can hear is the Bodhiya of Sri Japji Sahibabad vibrating and resounding in the Mughal court. The Shorte Sahibzade could say anything as they last, but they chose to resound and to vibrate upon that blessed Bani, Sri Japji Sahibabad. There are so many examples, Sahasranji, but because of time constraints, we're not going to
be able to go through anymore. To be completely clear, the purpose of giving those examples is to show that this body is so mangy that first and foremost, whilst we're going to try and do the gata, nobody can ever properly or truly do the gata of sitting judges on the part. It's like a sweet sugar. A poet has once said that if you eat in sugar and somebody asks you to describe what it tastes like, you're like, how can I possibly tell you? Experience it yourself. Only the way I can describe it to you is to give you a spoon of sugar. My brothers and sisters, if you're so very fortunate and so lucky, if your karam is so blessed that you have a chance to pick up a Siddhi Japji Sahib Gutka and read the Bani and connect with it, I beg you, I'm at your feet and I make this humble supposition that you do so. Because Siddhi Japji Sahib Bhat is what we call a karam changer, meaning it can change your fortune. A lot of us think that we have bad luck. I'm not here to judge whether that's true or not. All I can say to you is that you can change your fortunes by reading Siddhi Japji Sahib Bhat. And the very final example we're going to give is the example of Baisha Begh Singh and Baisha Bagh Singh. Baisha Begh Singh and Baisha Bagh Singh were father and son. Baisha Bagh Singh had been arrested for arguing with the Maulvi about the correct application and teachings of the Islamic scriptures. And he'd been locked up. He'd been told that if he doesn't convert to Islam, that he will lose his life. Baisha Begh Singh is being kept in a separate cell and they're both being tortured. After many days of being tortured in this way, Baisha Begh Singh, their son Baisha Bagh Singh, he eventually succumbs. He says, I don't have the strength to stand up anymore against this tyranny. I'll accept, I will convert to Islam. Baisha Bagh Singh has been, if you like, in this way, some progress has been made by the Mughals against Baisha Bagh Singh. Thinking that they can try and score double, they send a messenger to the cell of Baisha Begh Singh, the father. And the messenger comes to Baisha Begh Singh and says, look, your son has agreed to convert to Islam. If you want to carry on seeing him in this world, why don't you also accept Islam? And in this way you can live together. Baisha Begh Singh has got no thought in his mind because he's an Abhyasi of Siddhi Japji Sahib Bhat. He's reciting Japji Sahib Bhat, and again, like Baba Fateh Singh Ji, Baba Jorwar Singh Ji, Panmati Das, Guru Tegh Bahadur Ji, Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, and Abhyasi of Siddhi Japji Sahib Bhat knows no fear. He asks one question, and the question is, can I see my son? If that is his choice, so be it. Mine remains to be ever steadfast, but can I speak with my son? Thinking that perhaps seeing his son in the physical sense, converting to Islam and accepting this change, that it will bring about a change in Baisha Bagh Singh, it is allowed. And Baisha Bagh Singh is placed in the cell with his son. It is said that Baisha Bagh Singh recites Siddhi Japji Sahib Bhat just once with their son. And he takes his jaram, he takes his foot, and he wipes it on the forehead of their son, Baisha Bagh Singh. And in that moment, Baisha Bagh Singh gets a strength unto him that he previously has not known. He says, I'm never going to change my dharam, do what you will to me, but you will never find me conveying from this beautiful, sweet Sikhi of Sahib Siddhi Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj. Baisha Begh Singh Ji and Baisha Bagh Singh were tied to a wheel. Coming is on point. Baisha Begh Singh and Baisha Bagh Singh, Baisha Begh Singh and Baisha Bagh Singh are tied to a wheel and their bodies are crushed together. In between each other, their bones are being crushed against each other, and on the other side, they've got these spikes that are being driven into their bodies. Every day, we remember Baisha Begh Singh and Baisha Bagh Singh in the Ardaas, when we say, Jinna, Singha, Singha Niyana, Tar Mahir Sish Ditte, Band Band Katai, Khopriya Nahir, Char Kharya Le Chare. Those that ride the wheel, Char Kharya Le Chare, those that choose to ride the wheel rather than give up their dharma. And again, they did this willingly, because they'd because the sweetness of that Siddhi Japji Sahib Bhat had gone in through the mind of Baisha Bagh Singh. Just on that point, our karam is written on our forehead. Baisha Begh Singh chose wiped their foot on the forehead of Baisha Bagh Singh, wiping away that karam, whatever it was that they had done to mean that they wouldn't have the strength, whatever previous actions they had committed to mean that they wouldn't have the strength to stand up and endure that which was before them, it was removed. And so the teaching we can also take from this is that if you ever have a chance to be in the Blessed Sangat, Put your head at the feet of the Sangat, because that is where salvation lies. Janke charan vase mere hire, sang panita dehi, janki turte ho kirpanid, nanaka ke sukha ehi. Guru Arjan Dev Ji says, if you ever have a chance to come into the Sat Sangat, don't ask any questions. Don't think about anything else. Just say thank you. And fall in the feet of the Guru Sangat, and in this way, you may be blessed. And who knows what karma might be written on your forehead? Who knows what it is that might be on your forehead that the Gurmukhs might wipe away by allowing you to put your forehead in their duri, in the dust of their feet. So now, we're going to start the Lari Katha with the blessings of Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj. We beg you, Guru Sahib, that you give us the blessings that we can do even one kirka, one small part of the justice in singing your praises or describing your pavitra bani. And we're going to start the katha now on Sri Japsada Bhadhanji.
Ek Omkar.
Ek. Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, Sri Japji Sada Pat, begins with Ek Omkar. Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj chose to begin the Mala Mantra with an Ek, the number one. The number one has no opposition. In different dharams, they believe, for example, that there's a God and there's a devil, and that they are facing off against each other in perhaps some sort of a duality. But what Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is teaching us is that that one, there is only that one, that there is Ik, and that nobody can argue that there's no one that can stand up against this, there is no duality, there is no opposition. And when you start from a place of Ik, then there can be no duality. Omkar. Omkar has a translation that can mean that Om meaning this creation, Om meaning the sound, sorry. Kar meaning the creation. What Guru Nanak Dev Ji is saying is that Ik from the one, Om Kar. The sound Om came, and that Kar, that this whole creation has come from that sound. Putting it slightly differently, what Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is teaching us is that from the Shabad, all of creation has come into being. From the one, from the singularity, the sound came, Om, and from that sound came the God, the creation. In the West, we call this the Big Bang, which is the singularity, that which there was, only one, and from that explosion forth came the whole creation. Ek Omkar, there is only one God, meaning we do not worship more than one, we don't worship the deities, we don't worship the Deity Kuror, the 33 million forms that exist in the Hindu Dharam. We don't worship physical creations or murti or puja. There's only one God. That one binds us all together, and He is also pervading each and every one of us. You see, it's not just the fact that there is one God as opposed to two. It's so very beautiful. What Guru Nanak Dev Ji is saying is, hey, take a moment to reflect. All that exists in creation is the one. All that exists in this entire creation is just the one. The idea that you are separate from me and I from you, and that I'm better than you at football and you're worse than me at finance or whatever it is that we may judge ourselves by, that all goes away. Because what we're recognizing is that sab mahe jyot jyot hai soi, that inside each and every one of us, the light of God resounds. Which light? That single light that joins us all together. I heard it put so very beautifully, and it stayed in my mind, that if you think of that Ek Omkar as the ocean of love, the ocean of creation, and that each and every one of us is like a wave. We exist for a semi-permanent moment. And in that moment, as a wave so beautiful and perfect up in the sky, we look around at other waves, go, hey, I'm a bigger wave than you. Hey, I've got a better car than you. Hey, I live in a nicer area than you, or whatever it is that we may choose to judge by. But in that moment of semi-permanent status, it's just our ego. For if we looked at our root, if we looked at our root truly, we would recognize that I am from the same water as that very wave that I'm looking down upon or looking up to. And that actually we're all part and parcel of that same ocean of love, that Sukh Sagar, that ocean of love and treasure. And so we say, Ek Omkar. that there is one God that connects us, that binds us, and unites all of us. Hanji.
Sat-nam.
Sat-nam. So this is often translated to Sat-nam, that His name is true. That is correct. But if we take the definition a little bit deeper and split it, Satya. Sat coming from the word Satya, which is a Sanskrit, a very old Sanskrit word. It means that which is beyond destruction, which cannot be destroyed. And we use the word truth for that. Satsangatji, the Gurbani understanding of truth is so much more beautiful than the way that we give it an understanding in the English language. We use the word truth to mean the opposite of lying. So, are you the Gurdara? Yes, that's the truth. Are you out somewhere else? That's a lie. But what Guru Sahib refers to as the truth is something different. It's not the idea of truth as opposed to a lie. What Guru Sahib defines as being true is that thing which will never die, which will always remain permanent. And so when you take that definition, then everything around us and everybody around us and all of the relationships that we have with objects and people, it's all false. Because none of these things are going to survive beyond our lifetimes. What Guru Sahib is saying is Sat-Naam, that only thing which is true is that Naam, that blessed mantra, Waheguru, that blessed Shabad, Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj. That is Sat-Naam, that will always remain true. And Naam meaning that thing which is legendary, that thing which is recognized for being this way. The Naam of Sat is the quality of that Waheguru, is that it will always remain true. Hanji.
Karta Purakha.
Karta Purakha. Karta is often translated to the creator. Karta can also mean the doer. Purakha meaning that being which does all things. So this is a wonderful thing that we can unload our stress and anxiety onto. See, oftentimes we get in difficulties and the first question that comes into our mind is, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with this? Satsangati Karta Purakha. That there is one doer of all things. And if we can truly accept and understand this, then we'll know that actually the worries are not ours to bear. How many times do we spend our days worried in anxious times, stressed out, nervous, wondering how we're going to deal with something, and lo and behold, it gets dealt with beyond our hands. Or the problem never comes to be. You spend so much time worrying about something, and it turns out that whatever you were worrying about, it was just a fallacy unto your own mind. This is going to happen, then that's going to happen, and she's going to say this, and he's going to do that. Oh my God. What Guru Sahib is saying is Karta Purakha. Actually, there's one doer of all things. And if we can understand and accept this, then it's outside your hands. Guru Sahib puts it so beautifully. They say, Nanaka, Chinta Mata Karo, Chinta Te Sahi Hai. Guru Sahib says, yo, literally, quite literally, they say, yo, why are you worrying? The worries aren't yours to bear. Why do we worry so much? Karta Purakha. There is one doer of all things, and that is the being which we refer to as Akal Purakha. Hanji.
Nirpau.
Pau means fear. In Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, to try and sort of grow our understanding of Gurbani, we're going to try and illustrate some of the rules of the grammar practices in Gurbani so that you can hear Gurbani in other circumstances, you can apply these teachings. So the word nir is a negative. And it means the opposite. So the word to follow is the opposite of that. So if you have bao, which is fear, and it is preceded with the word nir, it means without. So nir bao means no fear. Bao on its own would mean fear, but nir bao means no fear. Of course, when we go back to the Bija Mantra, the very first part of the Mool Mantra, which is Iku Angar, that there's only one, then of course it follows so very beautifully. So perfectly engineered is it such that there can be no fear, because there's no duality, there's no one to face, there's no contender, there's no opposition to that beautiful creator, sustainer and destroyer of all beings. So of course, having no opposition, having no duality, there is no fear. Hanji.
Nirvara.
Again, there is no one to face off against Waheguru, because everything, all beings, all sentient beings, all inanimate beings, all atoms, molecules, this whole creation, Akar, the whole universe, is in fact an expansion of that one. So there is no enemy that can stand off and face against Waheguru, For the same reason there is no fear, nirbhau, there is no vair, nirvair. Hanji.
Akal murat.
Akal murat. Again, another rule in Punjabi grammar, if you have an arab at the beginning of a word, it negates the word that follows. So kal means death. Akal means beyond death. Sare akho akal.
Akal.
Meaning that which is beyond death. You may often have heard this in different times. The word akal is also a jigara that the Singhs and the Singhaniya would have roared forth as they walked upon the battlefield, as the few always stood against many, but were always victorious because they had that blessed bani in their hearts. And the word kal means death. Akal means beyond death. Akal murat means that form of being which is beyond death. But another much more beautiful, another deeper translation of that shabad is murat can be broken down to mu meaning me and rat means love. So you can translate that shabad to also mean akal murat, meaning that one which is beyond death is he unto whom I have all my love. Akal murat, I have all of my love only for that one which is beyond death. And you can see how this works backwards, because if you love that one which is true, that will always be here, that is never going to be beyond creation or death, then you can understand how they are satanam. Because the only thing which is true is that thing that will always be remaining, which is the Shabad, which is the Sadhu, which is that form of God on this earth. Sahib Siri Guru Granth Sahib Ji Hanji.
Ajuni.
Ajuni. So Jun means to be born, or we can say to be born and to die. Having understood the grammar rules, we can understand that if you put an arrow before before Juni, then it becomes Ajuni. So Ajun means to be born forth, so that you can then die on this world. Ajuni, it now makes sense to mean that one which is beyond birth and death. Ajuni, that one which is never born and which will never die. Hanji.
Sepang.
Sepang. Sepang meaning that one which is self-existent. Nobody gave birth to Waheguru. That one which is beyond birth and death. That one that will always remain and will be here long after we are all gone. That one which is Sat. Everybody say Sat.
Sat.
Sare akho Sat.
Sat.
Sat Nama.
Sat Nama.
Sat Nama.
Sat Nama.
That one which is always going to be true and remain on this earth. That they are Sepang. Nobody created them. They never took tapya from anybody to come into existence. And so we can say that they are self-existent because they were never born. Ajuni and then Sepang. Because they were never born and they never died, they will always be self. They were never created, they were self-existent. Hanji.
Gaur Prasad.
Why? This is why we are here today, in the presence of Guru Darbar. Gaur Prasad. That one which Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji is described from, Ek Oankar Satnam Karta Purkh Nirbhau Nirvair Akal Murat Ajuni Sepang. That one which Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji has so perfectly described, how do we realize them? How do we see them? How do we have a chance to feel their blessed love in our hearts? How can we be like Guru Arjan Dev Ji, always crying in remembrance of that one? Because you're so full of bliss that it's like an electric current flowing through your body. How do we get to that avastha where we have no fear in our life, like by Mati Das Ji, that we can have a sore placed on our head but we'll never give up our dharma? Guru Prasad. It is by the blessings of Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj, by the blessings of Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj. So when we come into the Guru's Darbar, what do? We walk into the Guru's Darbar, we pay no credence to anybody else. We say hello to no one else. We walk straight up to Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj and we fall at their feet and put our head at the floor. Why? Because Guru Prasad. Prasad means the blessings. Guru means the Guru. It is by the Guru's blessings that we can merge with that. Ek Oankar Satnam Karta Purkh Nirbhau Nirvair Akal Murat Ajuni Sepang Guru Prasad. You see, when we come into the Guru's Darbar, we may have been taught as younger children that we're giving our heads to the Guru. And that is 100% correct. Guru Sahib says that you should come into the Guru's Darbar and place your head at their feet and forget that you even exist. But actually, what we should understand, whilst we are giving our heads, what we are really doing is we're falling at the feet of the Guru and saying, Guru Sahib, please, give me your prasad, give me your blessings. Let me come into your house. Let me come into your sanctuary. Please give me your blessings. My brothers and sisters, we should do well to remember this, that when we come into the Guru's Darbar, as we fall at the Guru's feet, we should remember Guru Prasad. Because we're not just going through a ritualistic action, putting our knees on the floor and then headbutting the floor and then bouncing back up saying, where's the dega? No. What we're doing is we're saying to Guru Sahib, we understand that it is through your blessings, through Prasad, through your blessings, that I can merge with that one God. Hanji.
Jap.
So Jap, this is the name of this Pavitra Bani, Japji Sadrabad. But it also means to repeat. So Guru Nanak Dev Ji is saying to us that we should repeat this verse over and over again. We should repeat this Mool Mantar, which is not yet finished, which is going to finish at Siri at Nanak Hosebi Saj. Guru Sahib is giving us an instruction that the way to God is through repetition of the Shabad. Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is telling us that the way to God is through repetition of the Shabad. In this dark age of Kaljuk, which we'll go through in more detail in weeks to come, what that means, what this dark age is, that the way to God is through repeating the Shabad and enshrining the Shabad in our heart. Many great Gurmukhs and many great saints have obtained Brahm Gyan, have merged with God just by reciting Siddhi Japji Sadrabad. And so, my humble bhenti is that we come here week in, week out, and we learn the meanings of the Shabad, but what I was going to make as a suggestion is, if you don't already know that particular bodhi that we're going to be going through, most bodhi are quite short, they're about three or four lines, three or four panktiya. So let's make an effort to try and memorize each Shabad as we come to the Darbar, and hopefully with Guru Sahib's kirpa, with Guru Prasad, with Guru Sahib's prasad, we can get to a place where we memorize Japji Sadrabad that is inside your heart. And that currency you can take anywhere with you. You know that feeling when you walk out of the house and you've got a 20 quid in your pocket, you're like, yo, I can go anywhere. I've got money in my pocket. Well, the old historic Puratan Guru books, they would talk about having Paisa Kant, Bambani Kant. That the real free currency, the real currency we should have is to have Gurbani memorized. Because once you've memorized it in your mind and it's in your heart, you can take it with you wherever you go. And that nobody can take it away from you. Even if they put you in a jail cell, you're still richer than most because you've got that Pavitra Shabad memorized and instilled in your heart. Hanji.
Ad Satcha.
Ad, meaning the primal time, that before anything, before the beginning, if you like. So you've got the beginning, and then you've got a bit of time before that. Ad Satcha, that Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is saying that Waheguru, who is true, they were never going to die or be destructible, that they were true and unchanging before time was even created. Hanji.
Jugad Satcha.
That when time came to be created, in Sikh Dharam, in Puratan Dharam, we understand that time is cyclical. It's not on a straight line, but it actually runs in cycles. And it runs on four ages. Satyug, Tretayug, Dwaparyug, and Kaljug. We're now in the fourth age, which is defined as being the dark age, when truth, as we described, has left this world. And it is the time for the Guru to burn forth and come forth and bring light into this darkness. And Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is saying, Ad Sach, that Waheguru was true before time was created, Jug Ad Sach, that even when the ages came to be, that Waheguru is true. And that in each and every one of these ages, that Waheguru resides and will always be true. Hanji.
Happy Sach.
Happy Sach, right now, in this very moment, that Waheguru, unto whom we place all of our faith, from whom we seek all of our support, that they are true right now. They are true right now in this very moment. And we can draw strength and courage from that, Barossa, from that, because if Waheguru is true when Paimati Dasji received the soul, if Waheguru was true when the ages came to be, and by Baba Fateh Singh Ji and Baba Jorawar Singh Ji, they received those bricks around their body and then the kanjan across their neck. If Waheguru is true then, we can say that that same force, that same being that can instill us with the strength and courage to live by the light, happy such, that they are true with us right now. They are our company, they are our companion right now. Hanji.
Nanak Hosi Bi Sach.
Says Siddhi Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj, that blessed one that creates, that sustains and destroys in this cycle of creation and sustenance and destruction, that that blessed Vaheguru will always be true. And that this Shabbat, which is a part of that blessed form, will also always be true. My brothers and sisters, we're blessed to be in the presence of Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj right now. They sit on the same takht that where we see Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj. And many saints, if they were here now, as they are present right now, would look at the takht and they would see Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj sitting there. And the Shabbat which we had just shared together will always be true. There will never be a time when this Shabbat will be out of date, out of context, because it is Satnam. And when we hear the word Satnam, we hear it with new ears, don't we? We hear it knowing that what it means is not just that it's not a lie, but it will never be destroyed, that it will always be true, that as the ages come to pass and fall away, that the Shabbat will always remain. So we've just gone through a very simple art of Sidi Mool Mantar, which is the first Shabbat, which is the first, if you like, the belly body is often referred to, affectionately referred to in Sidi Jabji Sadabad. Next week we're going to be going through the adventures. We're going to start with the first adventure as recorded in Sidi Jabji Sahib, where Sidi Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is encountering the Sidhs and they're talking about their practices. They would believe that through certain practices, through keeping their bodies clean, through keeping their mouths closed and not speaking for years, and undertaking such practices and penances, they believe that they would get closer to God. And it's really quite wonderful. It's in some ways it's quite humorous to see the way Guru Nanak Dev Ji destroys the falsehood within which they are so wrapped up in, and how he brings forth the light so that we can be here experiencing it together. So I must have made many, many mistakes. I must have made many, many mistakes in trying to do the katha or Sidi Mool Mantar of the Jab, the belly body of Sidi Jabji Sadabad. I ask you, the Sadhsangat, to give me your blessings, to give me your forgiveness, that we can one day properly, with your blessings, fully and completely do the katha to the satisfaction of Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj. I beg you that you give me your blessings and your asisa. Deho sajan asisariya, jo hove sahib syo mele. Vaheguru Ji ka khalsa, Vaheguru Ji ki fateh.